Okay, so today, having finished nearly 5 years of the weekly readings of the raw material sessions 1 through 106 in the epilogue, we're in a change phase, or we will start a new project here. How far it goes, I'm not sure. We'll see how it goes. And the topic is book three. This was actually the third book that I wrote. It was only available online as a PDF or digital file. There's no hardcover, hardback version. And the title is Book Three, Selected Essays 2001-2010. And it follows a similar format as the second book, Universal Vision. And I'm just going to work my way through it and not read every single chapter, but go section by section from the foreword introduction through the four main sections. And the first is Wanderers, UFO, and ET groups, talking about cosmology. Talking about Confederation, Orion, Wanderers. At the end, there are some charts, but I'm not going to talk about that. I've actually presented on that earlier in the YouTube talks a few years ago. Second section is Human Society and Global Shift, some essays written after 9/11. Third section is Self-Healing, Freedom, and Enlightenment, basic transpersonal psychology, personal healing. Working through distorted beliefs and a little bit about Buddhism in the section of writing about Lin Chi, Rinzai, the Chinese Chan teacher. Section four is the last that we would go through, called Truth, Mind, and Karma, deeper metaphysics about personal transformation or spiritual path. The section five is the compilations of the raw material, pretty much all of which I've covered many years ago on the YouTube channel with the PDF compilations, reading from start to finish. So that's section five, the PDF compilations, and then some conclusions. And so this was written in 2010. And what I'd like to do is today read the foreword and introduction, or foreword, which is an introduction that I wrote in 2010, so now it's 8 years ago, which presents the overview of the book, my intentions, and sort of an updating from Universal Vision, which was written in 2000, which included essays from the ET newsletter, the ET journal. Which was in the late 90s. So the second book compiles what I wrote in the late 90s in 2000, 2001. The third book here compiles what I wrote, which is all available on my website, essays from 2001 to 2010. So I'm going to just go through the foreword and read it and make little comments. And since I wrote it, I can give little additional clarifications, improvements, hopefully, along the way. And I think for people who appreciate what I'm doing, or this integration of raw material metaphysics with Buddhism, ageless wisdom, Advaita Vedanta, transpersonal psychology, and some kind of global political awareness of the international geopolitical situation as it evolves. If you appreciate what I'm doing, I think you might appreciate this new series here, Book Three. So let me just go on and read it. This is page four of the PDF. Foreword and introduction. Greetings, dear reader or listener. Thanks for reading this book, or thanks for listening in here. This work, my third, is a collection of online writings released since my last publication a decade ago, and so that was Universal Vision in 2000, and this came out 2010. You'll also find here a series of compilations from the raw material, the Law of One series of channel work, which I think you'll find very special and important. Many of these chapters are found on my homepage, as I said, scottmandelker.com, and the Skype group site, which is the blog, Talks with Scott Mandelker. And again, you'll see the compilations all done as some of the earliest talks on the YouTube channel. Going on, conditions on Earth have changed a lot in the last decade, and we can assume, you know, since 2010 to today as well. With dramatic Earth changes of water, fire, and land, economic decline globally, increasing government controls, and a refined sense of goodness among those who seek. The pace of world change is accelerating, and chances of a greater intensity and changes of a greater intensity develop faster, as a reading of online news or news plainly shows. And you can see what was happening in 2010 is not much different than what's happening today, but it's even more intensified or difficult conditions today. Going on, I'd say these are the last days of 3D humanity on Earth before dimensional shift, which is also known as ascension or harvest or entry into fourth dimension, and it is a very special time. At the start of the last decade, 2000 to 2010, I founded a U.S. national seminar tour, Time of Global Shift, explaining world change in terms of space and Earth science, and that was presented by David Wilcock, who I chose to have on the tour, world prophecy, and metaphysics, i.e. relation to UFOs, ET groups, and cosmic plan. At the end of the decade, meaning 2010, I found myself or find myself living in Asia, having permanently left the U.S. in late 2009. It was a much-needed move, and I'm glad to be here, as I still am. As my work shifts to a different kind of work, it was a dramatic decade with expansive change and unexpected hard training for many of us. So here's an overview of the book. Part 1. Wanderers, UFO, and ET Groups reveals cosmic background, star visitors in body and in light, meaning Wanderers and Higher Dimensional Confederation, and multidimensional design. Some of these chapters are from my second book, Universal Vision, built upon my first, from Elsewhere, 1995. If you're a Wanderer, it's best you know it and make peace with being on Earth, then realize cosmic plan to more fully live and fulfill your life purpose, which we all know about, meaning we know that this is the great work. Part 1 also includes the transcript of a radio interview done long ago with Miss Deborah Lindemann, who was the wife of Michael Lindemann, UFO researcher, on abduction, positive-negative ET contact, and goals and methods of ETs on the, quote, left-hand path of service to self, meaning Orion, which is the basis of all true negative contact. Yes, they really are both benevolent and negative ETs, and they have great influence on humanity. Although from the view of higher self, in late sixth density, or 6D, there is no good and evil, light-dark polarity, from 3D view, it's critical to know ET relations. The interview was long and complex, but I recommend it for your careful consideration. Just being kind and loving is impotent, or not potent, not enough, when faced with genuine negative entities, human or alien. Please remember, empowering mind by wisdom can restore inner power. Part 2, Humanity and Global Shift, explains some major social trends, all chapters having been written in San Francisco shortly after the events of September 11, 2001. And the two chapters are post-911 essays, 1 and 2. Current geopolitics unfolds from the control plans established after the 911 traumatic triggering event. And in trying to help the world today, we're still doing, quote, world service in crisis, which was the name of one of the chapters. Expect more natural and man-made crises in the years ahead, before dimensional shift and fourth density dawns. It's also important we stay connected to global affairs without repressing emotional process as the house of cards falls. And you can see that 8 years later, since this was written in 2010, crises continue, control mechanisms in many Western societies and Eastern too are continuing. New World Order agendas are continuing at their own pace. Going on, I've also included a 6-part essay in part 2, Human Crisis and Divine Plan, which there's a talk on that on the YouTube channel. For months before writing, I felt it must be done, and while the chapter is also hard to read, it's worth your time. In it, I explain the three main consciousness groups on Earth in terms of spiritual direction, positive, negative, and undecided. While it's natural to feel humanity on Earth is a big old mess, actually, it's part of cosmic plan that just this mix of souls is here. Negative leadership, naive controlled masses, and few seeking love light. Human crisis is not made by God, but Earth itself has invited these souls here, and they made it, to support our co-evolution. Parts 3 and 4 present spiritual path in terms of the progression from personal suffering to healing and enlightenment, which is part 3, and the greater awakening to truth, wisdom, and karmic law, that's part 4. These two parts comprise the heart of the spiritual teachings given in this book, which itself builds upon understanding of cosmic plan, which is in parts 1 and 2. The chapters of part 3 are all short essays covering a range of topics. How can we understand life purpose more deeply? Know ourselves from higher self level? Why do we often feel such distress, and how can it be healed? Here I also discuss cure and how a change of heart, perception, and inner focus by self-love releases suffering. I give an example of a truly free Chinese Buddhist Chan or Zen master, Lin Chi Yichuan. Japanese is Rinzai Gigen, and that's the Rinzai Shu or Rinzai tradition in Japanese Buddhism. I have great respect and love for old Lin Chi, as he was fearless in living reality, did it his own way, yet quite aware of the futility of words. Those who teach, heal, counsel, or help in any way can only do so to the extent our medicine is taken, as all true healing is only self-healing, meaning to the extent that, as Ross said, service is effective only to the degree it is requested and to the depth it's requested by somebody seeking and by the quality of their own integration of what we're offering or speaking also determines the effectiveness of service. So all true healing is only self-healing, and although it's essential, healing precedes and is not equivalent to total spiritual liberation, the ultimate goal. And so that's another matter where a lot of people think that the totality of personal development or spiritual path, if they have any concept of it, is healing and go to healers repeatedly and only talk in terms of healing. But actually it precedes and not equivalent to total spiritual liberation, which is 7 chakra development. And healing in many ways is focused on the work of releasing blockages in the lower 3 chakras, the lower triad, by the development of 4th and 5th, or love, wisdom. And so balanced development of 4 and 5, 4th and 5th green and blue chakras, which is love and wisdom, or acceptance and discernment and honesty and realizing truth and integrating it, that increasingly does the healing, does personal healing, which is the clearance of blockages in the lower triad. And, compare that to other approaches, I think that's a pith presentation of what healing is. But it isn't the same as realization of unity. It isn't the same as realization of release and freedom from suffering and ignorance and attachment. Going further, I keep reading, part 4 is a bit more advanced with the focus on wisdom, mind development, and details of karmic function. Most wanderers have a good heart, but lack comparable fifth chakra action. We love and care naturally, but mind is often foggy. Many of us can't express ourselves well verbally. We wield skillful logic, nor grok, G-R-O-K, grok the roots of personal process. I repeat that. Many of us can't express ourselves well verbally, or wield skillful logic, nor grok the roots of personal process. The gateway to head chakras, forehead and crown, 6th and 7th chakras, is none other than throat chakra at the back of the neck. In the same way, the path from kindness, fourth chakra, to real spiritual power, knowing, oneness, and joy, sixth and seventh chakras, passes through fifth chakra. Knowing your truth, speaking that truth, knowing others' truth, and just how to help, all these are fifth chakra qualities, essential to the training of mind. Part 4 then ends with a 4-part essay on karma, also a challenging read, but key to the forgiveness of ill. I meant forgiveness of all, but certainly the forgiveness of self and other is critical to deeper healing and a real unification of the first 5 chakras, but it very much begins the integration with 6, between a more integrated body-mind, or lower triad, personal chakras 1, 2, 3, with the transpersonal qualities of love, wisdom 4, 5, the integration of the 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, is preparatory to an initial working of the integration with spirit complex 6 and 7. And that, you know, mind-body, unified mind-body, or integrated mind-body, chakras 1 through 5, joining or deeply associating with 6, 7, which is a spiritualization of mind-body, very much depends on self-forgiveness. And that really requires a bit of 6-chakra activation, meaning a big overview or a bigger, greater understanding, somewhat metaphysical understanding, of the karmic roots of our conditions that have caused us suffering. How we created our conditions of suffering or relationships that bring suffering and our confusions and our unhelpful patterns, how we're not only responsible for it, but that responsibility goes beyond this single lifetime. Why did I choose abusive parents? Why did I choose a sick body? Why did I choose, or why am I experiencing it because I chose it? Why did I choose it? Well, program catalyst for learning. But there's a karmic necessity in program catalyst as well, you say. Pre-program catalyst, or the programming of life conditions like body, parents, siblings, opportunities, strengths and weaknesses, and many of the relationships that we have, not only family, as manifestations of program catalyst, is programmed in accord with karma. It's not programmed out of the blue, based on, oh, I'd like to develop these qualities, or let me see if I have this, let me get these troubles just and see what happens. It's, let me get these troubles associated with my karmic history of generally having missed opportunities or caused troubles to others or neglected certain learning. Therefore, I'll choose these difficulties so that I can develop qualities that I hadn't developed before in past lives. That, knowing that, I mean, not just talking it, but really knowing it and knowing the personal details, which are unique for each person, definitely requires some 6-chakra activation or a spiritualization of mind, and that's a deeper level healing of lower triad. So forgiveness, which includes 6-chakra involvement, definitely requires a spiritualized mind, or is that. That definitely requires 4th-chakra activation to get to 5th-ray, to support 6th-ray, to do that deeper healing on the personal, which is very much a karmic, is karmic healing even, or self-healing based on deep karmic understanding. Finally, it goes on, part 5 presents 3 compilations of direct passages from the raw material on wanderers, sexuality, and healing and balance. With permission from L&L Research in Kentucky, USA, owners of the material, and the receiving group for raw, I organized these chapters from the 4 main Law of One volumes, arranged by topic. This was another piece of work I felt called to, and then afterward, it sat unused in my computer for almost 5 years. And so, those compilations on Wanderer's Notes, sexuality or spiritual use of sexuality, and healing and balance, those PDFs are available on the blog site, talkswithscottmandelker.com, and also I've covered them line by line in previous talks on this YouTube channel. Going on, I'm grateful to L&L Research, and at that time it was Jim and Carla, for kind permission, and this was in the early 2000s, before 2010. I was, and I still am, grateful to L&L Research for kind permission in allowing me to publish it here, and free PDF versions of an earlier draft are also at my site. For wanderers, healers, energy workers, and anyone interested in the 6D view of spiritual transformation, these chapters are a field of gems. I think those PDFs are great, still. As you can see, the topics are very advanced, such as cosmic polarity and wanderers, body-mind-spirit initiation, sexual energy transfer, chakra dynamics, and the ideal use of life experience, called Catalyst, to develop our total being. I consider these raw compilations the most important part of this book. And again, they're all well covered in previous YouTube talks. So, feel free to read only those chapters that seem appealing, but I recommend making effort on the more challenging ones, such as the Deborah Lindemann interview, Human Crisis and Divine Plan, which I covered in a YouTube talk, Metaphysics of Karmic Law, which is new. Would be new to the YouTube channel, and Ra's Healing and Balance, also covered. If you feel yourself ready for more advanced study, this book will surely meet the call. As one Confederation speaker said, wisdom is a rather lonely matter, Ra said that, and all real work is inner work, so fear not facing mind. As my teacher too, as Ra, I offer you here, quote, the discipline of understanding, a way of knowing, a spark to enflame wisdom, to more fully access the mind of higher self. As Ra said, the strength of the inner light equals the strength of our will to seek that light. And I heartily or totally agree. True effort in true teaching calls forth the latent light, brings clarity and power to mind, as yet another means of joining all that is. Please enjoy the ideas of this offering. And that was written in Japan in 2010, which was nearing the end of the 10-15 years or so that I was doing some work on and off in Japan, and my first two books are also available in Japan. And so that concludes the foreword or introduction to book 3. Now, I don't have that much more to say on that. Let me see. I think we can jump into chapter 1. And we'll start with section 1, chapter 1. This may be, you know, some of this is review for some people, and review is good, you know. If it's good, I just saw, as I said, The Day the Earth Stood Still, 1951 version, for the fourth or fifth time last night. And every time I watch it, like any good movie, I can learn more and appreciate it more. So review is good. So long as we're deepening our understanding. So I will read here, and that'll be all for today's session. Chapter 1, Section 1, Section 1, Wanderers, UFO, and ET Groups. Chapter 1, The Purpose of UFO Contact. And this is, you know, for the people here who've been, you know, listening to the raw material deeply, or following my teaching and presentations for a while, you'll see that this is not new to value the spiritual learning that can come from an analysis of UFO contact, meaning the purpose of UFO contact as metaphysical spiritual assistance to humanity. We're talking about positive ET contact and the study, the purpose of the study to learn more about cosmic life, but also our own path, ourselves, certainly if one is a wanderer, but also our path, because UFO contact is a contact from greater beings that are more evolved than ourselves, like the Ra material or Ra from late sixth density. Now, negative contact is a different story, but you know, the purpose of life is not the development of technology. The purpose of life is not the examination of sensational and amazing weird things. The purpose of life is to know self and life and fulfill the purpose of life, which is, as Ross said, purpose of incarnation is evolution of mind, body, spirit. So the purpose of UFO contact, let's look in and see what I wrote. The purpose of UFO contact starts, with every passing year, the study of UFO or ufology grows more complex as UFO sightings and ET contacts continue across the world. We're faced with an enormous body of research and first-hand reports, well-documented and extensively studied, on a raft of conflicting interpretations. At the start of the 21st century, we have no problem finding data to support the claim of true or real extraterrestrial visitation, the concept that we're not alone in the universe. Our real problem is how to interpret and make sense of all this information. To reveal deeper levels of meaning, we have to realize that empirical scientific methods, for all their merits, have built-in limitations. Put simply, the materialist approach of most ufologists and paid scientists gives us but a piece of the puzzle. While they give ample documentation of isolated events and experiences, they're quite foiled or stymied or blocked in addressing the big picture, the significance of contact from beyond. UFO researchers simply don't have preparation or experience with the metaphysics of this particular hole in the curtain, as Ross said. And that's critical. How many UFO researchers are up to speed with Eastern and Western metaphysics? Nearly none. However, there are other sources of information. As documented by Richard Thompson in the book called Alien Identities, many aspects of modern UFO ET phenomena were well understood by ancient Hindu priests, extensively documented in Vedic scriptures, the Vedas. We find comparable ideas in the texts of many religions, including Judeo-Christian, particularly Gnostic, Native American, Mayan, and Hopi. There's extensive discussion of cosmic life in Western esoteric schools such as Theosophy, and even more from current ET channels, quote, space brother contactees in the 50s and earlier, particularly George Hunt Williamson and Adamski. Many of these are written in the LNL research book called Secrets of the UFO, meaning the space brother contactees' messages. All these sources offer their own take on, quote, ET Earth contact, and if met with open mind and discernment, helps reveal what materially focused UFO research cannot. Admittedly, the reliability of the sources is a problem. They offer no proof of their claims and claim a wide range of often conflicting notions. Based on personal experience, subjective interpretation, and internal means of knowing, these alternative sources often exaggerate, storytell, and fall prey to emotionally blurred thinking. Nevertheless, they do give a useful perspective, which, in some cases, integrates the varied data of UFO investigation. It is arrogant and naive for ufology or ufologists to dismiss all such sources due to the distortion of some. It is prudent that we take a careful look. Of course, you probably have a more spiritual perspective yourself, which is why you bought this book or why you're listening to me now. So you don't need a lecture on the importance of listening to subjective sources. So I just make reminder, we need both logic and intuitive sensitivity to find deeper levels of the UFO ET presence. And that term, ET presence, is coined by Michael Lindemann, who I met, who was a good guy, and then sort of dropped away. I think he was probably threatened. Going on, for instance, we find many references to cosmic life in Buddhist texts, spanning a period of 2,500 years from the time of Siddhartha Gautama, the Buddha himself. These document the polarized intentions of two main groups of non-human, non-physical cosmic beings. They're placed in the traditional Buddhist cosmology of the six realms, lower being the animals, ghosts or preta, or hell realm, niraya, the upper two being humans, and the upper being humans, and two realms of, quote, gods, meaning devas and asuras. In Sanskrit, the two upper levels are home to devas, translated as radiant gods, and asuras, translated as angry, jealous, or fighting gods, gods just means non-physical, higher-dimensional beings. This idea of polarized cosmic life, benevolent spiritual beings that support humanity, and evil beings causing harm, is found in most mystic traditions. It is also highly relevant to understanding ET agendas, in which we find both benevolent and malevolent type contacts. Incidentally, there is absolutely no precedent and no religious, mystic, indigenous tradition whatsoever that I'm aware of, which presents a, quote, unipolar universe, which was something like all benevolent or all malevolent cosmic life. Again, no religious or mystic or indigenous tradition whatsoever that presents a unipolar universe where they're all benevolent or they're all malevolent. Okay? Mm-hmm. So some UFO researchers talk about that, and one might wonder why. Going on, the several famous UFO specialists who today advocate a unipolar interpretation of ET intentions have absolutely no backing from any previous tradition. Their notions of all evil or all good ETs, while surely backed by their own findings, nevertheless has no support from 5,000 years of human spiritual seeking. This is an important point. From Western metaphysics, we find numerous references to interplanetary evolution in the writings of Alice Bailey. As in all theosophy, it's well understood that beings live on different worlds according to soul maturity, with cosmic administrative bodies governing their growth and interaction. She, meaning Bailey, even offers commentary on the relationship between Earth and specific solar systems, such as Sirius and the Pleiades. Interestingly, these two stars figure highly in the mythology of the Maya, Sumerians, and Dogon of Mali, Africa. Many ET contactees also claim to have met these groups, and some wanderers, or ET souls in human form, believe they're from those stars, meaning Sirius and the Pleiades. Obviously, the ancients knew some things about cosmic life that modern UFO experts still do not know. And again, I don't, you know, I'm not signing off on all of Theosophy or Alice Bailey. I'm just making little points and saying, here seems to be some truth about the importance of Sirius and Pleiades in human evolution. Finally, there's also useful data from some sources that claim to be channeled, despite the obvious folly of some. In my own comparative study, the source that stands out as the single most credible, reliable, and spiritually mature is the Law of One series. Also known as the Raw Material, these are five volumes of 106 sessions of direct question and answers by full trance telepathy. Ra, the name they assumed, actually, I believe, while in contact with Pharaoh Akhenaten long ago, claims to be originally from Venus, but now in sixth dimension, relative to Earth humanity, which is of third dimension, and they explain UFO-ET contact in depth. Precisely, they explain just why these visitors are now here, by metaphysics, fully in accord with major elements of Buddhism, Hinduism, indigenous traditions, mystic religions, and Western systems. Being fully in accord with all those traditions is very important, and shouldn't be underestimated. According to Ra, who also claims to have created the Giza Pyramid by thought, humanity on Earth is nearing the end of a major cycle of soul evolution. They say that ET groups are well aware of this, and knowing that time is short before drastic changes occur in third dimension, benevolent groups, such as theirs, are here to help us choose a more harmonious destiny. Not surprisingly, many ET experiencers also bring the same kind of message. They also say that UFO visitation, particularly, obviously, positive, UFO positive visitation is a collective, yet truly subjective wake-up call for individuals and humanity as a whole to help us open eyes to cosmic mystery and the glory of our true spiritual being. When I began speaking in the mid-1990s at UFO-ET conferences, these ideas were largely shunned by so-called experts, but today they're more commonly heard. Yet, in the welter of interpretation, there's great confusion and conflicting ideas. After the struggle was won to bring the spiritual into UFO studies, we now face a cacophony of interpretation. While hard-nosed researchers reject the spiritual entirely, abduction specialists often claim, quote, all ETs are malevolent, while others say they're, quote, all benevolent, as ET channels create new notions weekly. Congruence with previous religions and metaphysical traditions is essential, but few people seem to recognize it. Personally, I recommend discernment in hearing so-called experts. And that's why I'm in Asia. Of course, we've all got a lot to learn about ET groups and cosmic life, and a careful approach to learning is best. Nevertheless, facing such a complex, abstruse topic, it's essential we broaden our perspective, venture beyond the provable, and exercise both open mind and logic. As Jesus advised, we ought to be, quote, as harmless as doves and clever as snakes, which is more important today than ever before, as there are also many paid agents of lies and disinformation in the UFO field, some of whom are widely considered to be good guys. Mm-hmm. Admittedly, we're quite unfamiliar with the metaphysics of cosmic life. Thus, we need to go slow as we listen, read, and come to our own conclusions. But cosmic life need not remain confusing, and the big picture can be known. But we do need discernment, a critical mind, open heart, and a willingness to admit wrong view. For it's only those who can admit they've been mistaken who can truly appreciate the beauty of true expanded awareness. All right, so that concludes the first chapter, and that's pretty hardcore, and I think it's enough for today. The importance of spiritual interpretation in UFO research and conclusion, development of conclusions, the importance in recognizing spiritual interpretation, the importance in that of accord with or reference to, relation to, previous human religious traditions. Certainly, mystic Eastern, Buddhism, Hinduism, Native American or indigenous have a lot to say. Western metaphysics, like some theosophy and raw material and some other channels, have a lot to say. The Christian, esoteric, early Christian Gnostic has much to say. You know, many know things. Rumi knew, my soul is from elsewhere, he said. Heraclitus has some view of the essential principles. And so, according our interpretation of UFO contact or ET contact with some reference to previous human traditions is really important, unless you think that they're all deluded and you know more than all of them and you can throw them all out, which I think is folly. So the spiritual has now been brought into the UFO discussion in a way that it was not 15, 20 years ago. Yet, now, we have a welter of interpretations. And goodly people who are delivering falsehood. And paid agents who the masses of people interested in UFO ET contact believe to be goodly, who actually are paid disinformers. And well-respected. By those who I would say have no or little discernment. And so this is all fifth chakra, right? The difference between being mistaken and being clear is fifth chakra. The difference between clarity, discernment versus confusion and gullibility, naivete. The difference is fifth chakra activation, more or less. And so what that depends on fourth. And that depends on the lower triad. And so heavy psychological complexity, conflicts, is associated with heart chakra blockage, is associated with fifth chakra blockage, is associated with poor discernment, is associated with making bad choices. We all make some bad choices. But we ought to be learning from our bad choices by understanding the consequences of our choices, and when those consequences seem to be unpleasant, or analyzing current conditions that may be unpleasant or painful or upsetting, and taking responsibility and tracing them back to how we thought that how we thought it would be when we made the decision or decisions that led us to where we are now or the conditions now, tracing back to the confused mind that made the decisions that led to us being where we are in difficult circumstance, tracing back is important, and acknowledging mistaken view is critical so that we can develop right view for ourselves. Right view means what you value, what you need, what's really good for you, what's really helpful. It's not just metaphysical right view that needs clarification, but clarity on how to take good care of myself and order my values, clear ordering of values. This is more important than that. This is a long-term gain, and this is a short-term. This is a long-term gain that comes through short-term pain. This is a short-term pleasure that leads to long-term pain. Any kind of analysis like that is really important. These are higher functions of mind, which are developed by Fifth Ray, which anyone can do, if they wish. So, this discerning spiritualization or a spiritual discerning approach to the interpretation of UFO contact is critical. And you still have every year a new crops of new channelers saying things that 100 other have said that doesn't really... it ought to be well known already. And if you spend a lot of time reading that, you're just going in circles or going nowhere. The train is stopped at the station. And that's fine if you want to stop at the station and stay long. But if you want to go further with seven chakra development, further understanding, but particularly further self-healing is critical. So next time, we're going to carry on with this examination of a discerning spiritual approach to ufology. As simply, you know, helping understand what's going on with, you know, sightings in the sky and contacts and the field of UFO research, which continues in its own way. Next time, we'll look into the chapter Ufology and ET-Human Relations. And perhaps the next one after, an introduction to wanderers and walk-ins. And so, if you think this is review, if you think this is boring, go right ahead and leave, please. If you think that this is helpful, I'm glad. And I think it's worthwhile for me to read it, and I believe there's still some love light we can distill from it. So next time we'll look into ufology and ET-human relations, and perhaps introduction to wanderers and walk-ins, chapter called Doors and Definitions, and some basic definitions of walk-in and wanderer, which might help clarify what you already know. So, I hope this was useful. Thank you for being here. And I'm glad that we're launching into book 3. So, take good care of yourselves, and good night.